Our next guest on the program was a child actor that, well, everybody saw as Ernie Thompson, later Ernie Douglas on My Three Sons. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, went on to work in TV shows like Mad Men, films like The Social Network and Argo. He's the author of a wonderful memoir, The Importance of Being Ernie. And we're so happy to be joined this afternoon by Barry Livingston. Barry, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Yeah, how you doing?
We're doing very well. How are things for you in these the most interesting times?
Like a roller coaster, you know, things look like they're getting better, and then they get worse, and they get better, and they get worse, and things are picking up work-wise, I guess, but, you know, it's a new world. Everyone's, you know, having to adhere to new guidelines, and hopefully nobody's going to get sick, and we can open things back up and move on with our lives.
That would be nice. We're looking forward to not thinking about those things on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
Well, you have had such a remarkable career and a life, and I want to go right back to the beginning. You were born in Hollywood, and well, it's a bit of a stretch to say your parents were in the movie business, but in a sense, they were.
Yeah, they owned theaters, but the theaters back when they owned them were combination live at shows and movies. But you know, they had burlesque, which was, you know, striptease pretty much between the cartoon and the documentary, and then the B movie and the C movie and then the A movie. It was almost a 24-hour operation. But in Baltimore, my dad owned two theaters. I think at one time he almost had three. But anyway, that's where he met my mom. And so, yeah, they were more in the exhibition end of the business, which has absolutely nothing to do with production, or you know, it's not like you paved the way to start it because you had a crummy little movie theater in Baltimore in 1935.
Well, you are the third actor that we've talked to here in the last couple of months that had one of their first film experiences working with Paul Newman, Angela Cartwright, Shelley Fabre, but your experience working with Paul Newman and Rally Round the Flag Boys, very different than theirs.
Well, that was my very first gig. My brother Stan, who played Chip on My Three Sons, had just been cast in that movie. I was at the audition, and the producers came out and pretty much said, "You know, your boy's great. We're gonna hire him for a movie." And then they saw me sitting with my mom, and anyway, you know, they said, "Is he an actor?" Because he said, "Well, that's his brother." I said, "Oh, there's going to be a younger brother in this." So one thing led to another. Next thing you know, I'm cast in the movie. But the fairy tale entry into the showbiz kind of ended oddly, is that my eyes started to cross actually when I was on the set in the middle of a scene, and the director was getting very angry at me because he thought I wasn't paying attention, and it looked like I was not looking where I was supposed to. And Paul Newman, being the absolute sweetheart that he was, he tried to insert himself into the situation and said, "Look, you know, somebody give me a puppet or something. I'll get inside the TV. I was supposed to be watching the TV," and he was waving at me. And anyway, my eyes just were like ping ponging around my head. They said something's wrong with this kid, so they took me to the hospital straight from the studio and determined that I needed to wear glasses. And so when I came back to the set in a day or two, they said, "No, we didn't cast this kid originally with glasses. But, you know, it was already a stretch. I had buck teeth and a Mo Howard bowl cut." They thought, you know, I don't know, glasses too much. So I was fired from that, my very first gig.
But you're still in it if we look closely enough, right?
Oh, I'm very active, yeah. I have a recurring role on Bosch and a bunch of things that I've done recently. Dead to Me, which is a very popular show on Netflix. I've done The Middle recently in years, and trying to think of all the stuff that has come down the pike in the last year or two. But I've been very busy. A couple of big films, War Dogs and so Jersey Boys with Clint Eastwood directed, and Social Network, and have a couple of films coming out next year, hopefully.
Excellent. Why do you think Ozzie Nelson took such a shine to you back in the day?
Well, you know, again, my brother was on that show, so they were aware of me just hanging around, you know, with my brother Stan, and then he got cast on My Three Sons. And I'd already had done some work. I did a thing with Mickey Rooney on the Dick Powell Theater. Did a couple of other shows. So they knew I was an actor. When Sam vacated the slot of the kid, you know, the neighbor boy that Ozzy would go to the malt shop. They just put me kind of into that role, and I became just Barry. That was my character's name, and I did 16 episodes, actually, on The Adventures of Ozzy and Harriet.
We were delighted a couple of years back to have the great Carl Reiner on the show, but he didn't tell us the story, so I'm hoping you will, of his unusual way of motivating you when you were on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Well, we were having a scene where Richie, I think, was the name of the boy, the son on the show, and he was bringing me and another kid into Dick Van Dyke's bedroom because he had to prove that Dick Van Dyke slept in leopard skin, you know, pajamas. Anyway, when they shot it in front of a live audience, you know, a free camera kind of deal, and but when they did it, they pulled down the sheet. We all started got the giggles. And so it was, you know, cut. Okay, come on, let's do this again. We did it one more time. Anyway, you know, we were 7, 8 years old. Got the giggles again. Finally, Carl Reiner came out, and he said, you know, I want you to think of something really serious. He said, you have a dog? Yeah. And, you know, I got a thing. He said, okay, just imagine that what would happen if your dog, you know, was hit and run over. Something really tragic like that. Sort of put a chill to the giggles. But nonetheless, it was a little early method acting of emotion memory to sort of where I was supposed to be. The shock of seeing Dick Van Dyke was like the shock of seeing my dog in the middle of the street. But crazy stuff, you know, it worked.
We're talking with Barry Livingston here on Downtown. You were pretty at home roaming around on the stages and the sets there, and an amazing story from your book about the time you were checking out a vehicle that belonged to a pretty famous person.
Well, you know, I was doing a movie at Paramount called My Six Loves. This is just prior to going on to My Three Sons. It was a big movie. Debbie Reynolds was the biggest star in Hollywood at that time. But, you know, as a kid, you've got a lot of time on your hands when you're shooting a film. So I had my bike, and I rode around, and I saw this super beautiful, long Cadillac limousine. You know, white door was open. I kind of looked inside, you know, and it was the thing that totally blew me away. This was probably about 1961 or 2. That it had a television in it, and I was like, wow, you know. We had a television as big as our refrigerator at our house. This was like a portable TV in a car. Like the Jetsons, you know. Anyway, you know, behind me I hear this southern drawl going, you know, hey, son, you know, you like what you see or whatever, something like that. And turn around, there's Elvis. And he was shooting a movie on the lot. And Chuck Barris had just customized his limo, and they brought it over for his inspection. Elvis climbed in and said, hey, you wanna go for a little ride? You could see I was totally impressed by him and his car. And so, yeah, I said, of course. So we hopped in, and we just took about a 5-10 minute little spin, slow drive around the lot. And, you know, he fiddled with all the buttons, and the windows were going up and down, and turned on the TV. And I think we watched Felix the Cat or some kind of cartoon for a few minutes. And you know, it was great. It was just so surreal to think about it now. But, you know, my ride with the king.
So you got hired, as you mentioned. Your brother Stan had been a regular on My Three Sons. He was actually the first person cast after Fred McMurray, right?
I believe so, yeah. I think he was cast, you know, that's why I've read that over and over. My brother Stan is actually here. He's outside. I'm looking at him right now. but I could, you know, I don't need to ask him. It's for sure. He was the guy that they cast right after Fred. And then... you know, all the other boys. I guess one of the more interesting stories in that whole casting process is that the middle son, who was Don Grady in the successive years, the original casting was Ryan O'Neill. And they shot the pilot with Ryan O'Neill as Robbie. And Fred felt that he wasn't up to doing the comedy, you know, part of his role. And so they let him go and recast him. And, you know, of course, he went on to have a major motion picture career, so he's probably eternally grateful he got canned. But, that was, you know, early days. 60 years ago, I think it's just September 29th or something like that, was the 60th anniversary of My Three Sons came on in 1960 on September 29th.
Well, the story of Ernie is quite an interesting one. He began as the next-door neighbor and then got adopted. And as a little kid, I have to tell you, Barry, I was jealous. I was an only child. And when Ernie got adopted into the Douglas family, I thought, why Ernie and not me? I don't understand.
Well, you know, you had to have connections, I guess. I don't know. I mean, my brother was always a good connection. So, yeah, you know, it was one of those things, again, I was always tagging along, you know, and there for everyone to notice. And I was already working quite a bit. So it was kind of a natural transition for me to just step into the role after Tim Considine, who's the original oldest son, who played Mike, decided he wanted to leave the show. And so they you know, I was like the relief pitcher in the bullpen. And I got the call, and lucky for me, I was there for another 8 years.
Working with Fred McMurray, I know you talk about it in the book, he was a nice man, but conservative and fairly distant there. And also, part of the way to get him on the show was to create a unique way of shooting that was referred to as the McMurray method. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it was very unusual, probably for the older actors. For my brother Stan and I, we just went with whatever they wanted to do. But we, instead of shooting starting on Monday, and you start, you know, an episode, and by Friday or the following Monday, you're done. You finish that episode, you move on to the next. We would shoot out of maybe 7 or 8 episodes a day, focusing only on Fred McMurray's scenes in that script and his close-ups. And once they got a master shot in his close-up, they'd move on to the next. So, you know, we would do that maybe 6-7 weeks, and then he would leave, and he would go fishing or a movie or whatever, and then we would go back and do our matching close-ups, the scenes that were, you know, already shot, the master in his close-up. We would do our lines to a script role, standing off stage, and it would be our close-up. So, yeah, when they added it, you thought it was all shot in sequence in one time, but it was actually done very very oddly. It worked. Somehow it meant, you know, occasionally there was a continuity problem where you'd have a pen in your pocket, you know, in the master shot in January, and you'd do a close-up in December, and, you know, the pen would not be there. So, you know, there were little glitches like that, but for the most part, it worked.
Now, I love the story about you and Stan being assigned the interesting task of getting William Frawley back from lunch every day.
Yes, well, you know, he was a well-known drinker, you know, there were, on occasion, he just didn't feel like going back to work after he had his 2 or 3 Cutty Sarks at lunch. And that would be disaster for the shooting schedule that day if he didn't show up or it was late, even, you know, it just throws everything out of whack. So nobody else could get him back. You know, they would send production assistants and people, and he would just, I'm not done yet. Tell him I'll be there in a minute. You know, half hour later, he's still sitting there. So, yeah, they asked us if we could be the one, because, you know, he was a sweet guy to us. You know, he loved Stan and me, but he probably more Stan. He knew him better. But, yeah, we were designated the Bill Frawley retriever. You know, we would have to go, come on, Uncle, we got to go back to work, you know. All right. Let me eat my cantaloupe, and we'd drag him back.
You had a great mentor in your years on My Three Sons. Can you talk a little bit about your friendship, not just a working relationship, but a friendship with Fred DeCordova?
Well, yeah, Fred DeCordova was our director for about 4 years, but Fred, you know, for the people who are not real showbiz aficionados, was best friend of a lot of really major stars. Jack Benny, he produced his show, George Burns. He directed Ronald Reagan and Bedtime for Bonzo. So Fred was part of the Hollywood elite, and I just adored him, and he liked me quite a bit as well, and would, you know, we were pals. We were, he'd take me to ball games with Jack Benny, and we'd go out to certain restaurants and bars with him. He was quite a dashing character, but he was, and most well known as Johnny Carson's producer for 20 years. I think he went from My Three Sons to being Carson's executive producer and showrunner.
We're talking with Barry Livingston on Downtown. With My Three Sons wrapped up in 1972, you had a choice of of acting or pursuing education? What pushed you toward continuing your acting career?
Well, you know, my parents were pretty clear-headed about the future, as they would discuss it with me, and that they went, there's no guarantee you're going to have a career. In fact, it was, in those days, it was very hard for child actors to move forward. Even, you know, any actor that had been associated in any big way with a TV show, it was hard to kind of move forward. But, you know, as a kid, you're sort of now an adult, not that cute little boy you were when you're 10. But I was lucky. I wound up very quickly after my three sons getting them playing Linus in a Hallmark Hall of Fame version of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, which is on Broadway. And so that kind of led me to think, you know, oh, this is nice. I could maybe do this. And I was lucky enough to get some roles in a bunch of episodic shows like Ironside, Streets of San Francisco. And then I got another series on CBS, short-lived though, but still all those things kind of encouraged me to pursue acting as an adult, and went to New York and lived there for a while and worked on Broadway. I tried to go to school. You know, I enrolled in UCLA once or twice, but I would always get something that would be worthwhile postponing my college education for. And sadly, I've never gone there, but luckily I've done pretty well as an actor.
How did you come to be in a position to plant a little kiss on Hollywood legend Myrna Loy?
Well, we were doing, this was one of those really nice little movies that I had an opportunity to do after my three sons, called The Elevator, when they were making Movies of the Week. And it was one of those Movies of the Week, and they had a huge, unbelievably great cast. It was like Roddy McDowell, Myrna Loy, Teresa Wright, James Ferrantino, you know, a lot of the big actor stars of that day and earlier. But anyway, I needed a ride home. I think my car stalled out or something, and she had a limo and saw me side of the side of the road and offered me a ride, and I was very enamored with her. She was a very attractive woman, even at that age. This was probably 73 or 4, and I don't know what she was, 50, 60, something like that, but yeah, I had many lusting in my head for Myrna Loy, because she was quite a beautiful woman.
You've carved out such a career, and you've chosen well. You've been in some really terrific films through the years, and worked with very talented directors from Forrest Whitaker to David Fincher, who was at four projects, a couple of commercials, and two films that you've done with him.
Yeah.
Do you think part of that is that work ethic that you had as a child actor, that they know you're a guy that they can depend on to do the job?
I hope so. I mean, I think David Fincher in particular, I met him working on a Heineken commercial, Heineken beer commercial, that was a Super Bowl spot with Brad Pitt. But, you know, I don't know how much he rarely kind of discussed, did you see that My Three Sons in any of those years? I just always assumed maybe he did, but I never asked him. But he liked what I did, and then he brought me in to do Zodiac, the film with Robert Downey Jr. and Jake Gyllenhaal, and then he came in and gave me another job in a commercial. He was a big time commercial director. I doubt he does that anymore, but he did a lot of major spots. And then the best of all was The Social Network, which was such a great, great movie, and he was actually going to do another series that never came together, and I was sort of going to be in that. But very rare that a director of that import and you know, has his project pulled. Just for whatever reason, HBO and David didn't see eye to eye on this. So, waiting for the phone to ring. Hopefully I can get another shot to work with him.
I am sure in Hollywood people always promise things and don't deliver, but that wasn't the case with Adam Sandler, who I was so impressed with in reading your memoir, being a guy who said he would give you an opportunity, and boy, followed through on that in a big way.
He's renowned for being extremely loyal, and his word is his word. And whatever you think of his movies, some are pretty good, some are atrocious. But he's a big deal in Hollywood forever. You know, he's probably one of the most successful stars that's ever come out of Hollywood. And anyway, I ran into him. I did a movie, just a small cameo in Dickie Roberts' Child Star that he produced. And I saw I was on the lot one day over at Sony Studios, and I saw him, and I went up and said, gee, you know, I thanks for giving me that job, and I'd love to be in one of your movies. And he's, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, sure, I'll put you in one of my movies. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, people say stuff like that all the time. Lo and behold, man, it took two or three shots because I auditioned for a couple things, but eventually I wound up being in You Don't Mess with the Zohan, which I think is actually one of his better movies. But sure, you know, I mean, I was blown away that when I finally got the job and I went to a reading, and he even said, geez, I told you I'd get you a part in one of my movies. And I was like, you know, you almost want to break down in tears when somebody who's of that level actually follows through with something that I'd asked him probably 5 years earlier. He it didn't recede in his mind, and he's beloved and justifiably so. He's a great guy.
You mentioned your work on Bosch, and I was a little late getting to Bosch, but man, that is a terrific show, and what a collection of pros, both in terms of the regulars and the guest stars. It's just some incredible acting talent that's been on that program through the years.
Yeah, well, Titus Welliver is Bosch, and I met Titus actually during Argo. We sat next to each other in our scene, and you know, Titus is surprising for a big kind of macho sweetheart of a guy, soulful dude. I think he really, really loved My Three Sons. He just seemed to like wherever I went, he was kind of following me, and I'd get on a golf cart to go be taking a lunch, and he'd hop on with me. And I remember hopping off once, kind of early, because I had done 2.5 Men, the TV series, and I saw the producers. And I thought, oh, I'll just get off here and, you know, early. I didn't go say hi. And he hopped off with me. I was like, oh, well, sure, come on. We'll go in and say hi to, you know, Charlie or whatever. And in any case, you know, I was kind of very pleased. And then when Bosch came around, he was instrumental in pulling me onto that show, because I'd heard about the role that I play, the medical examiner on there. And I reached out to him. And I said, hey, you know, you know, if it's at all possible, I'd love to come in and audition. And he said, I'm on it, you know. And lo and behold, I got an audition. And then, you know, again, he got back and he said, what happened? How'd it go? I was like, well, I thought it went well. He says, yeah, all right, I'll find out, you know. So, again, people were sometimes really sweet and really authentic. And he's one of those really super talented guys that deserves every good thing he got.
Well, along with your great accomplishments as an actor, keeping a marriage together for as long as you have might be at the top of the list of working in the business. And yeah. I would say the fact that you're still married after your first date says a lot. That was a pretty unusual first get-together.
Well, you've done your homework, by God. You're a good man. We met in 1980. It's 40 years ago, but we met at a club, a nightclub, and it was very loud Saturday night. We decided to go somewhere quieter. Anyway, you know, 15 minutes into meeting each other, we walked outside. We're going to go to a coffee shop, or I don't know, but we came across some girl that was flat out on her back on the lawn in front of this place, and, you know, being trying to seem all chivalrous and you know, sweet man that I am. So let's go see if she's okay. You know, it looks kind of weird. Anyway, it turned out she had slashed her wrist. Was not breathing. Still had a pulse. My wife, who was in med school at that time, sprung into action. You know, tied a tourniquet. Gave her CPR. There was no 911. There was no cell phone in these days. Definitely not 911. Couldn't run to a phone booth. I had to run back inside to the club, and they called for a doctor. And so, yeah, that was, she had skills, I realized, recognized. Here's somebody I need to keep in touch with here. So, yeah, here we are 40 years later.
Well done, indeed. Well, Barry, it's a delight to talk with you. I loved, like everybody else in the free world, My Three Sons as a kid, but I'm always pleased when I see you show up in a film or a television show, because you always deliver, and it's been a great opportunity for us to get to talk with you this afternoon.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
All right, be well. Thanks, Barry.
All right, take care.
That's Barry Livingston with us on Downtown. His memoir, The Importance of Being Ernie.